This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Marcella!
From every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And welcome, everybody. It is March the 22nd, 2021. It is DCR with you on 98.7 ESPN. I have watched more college basketball over the last 3 days than I think humanly possible. Let's see about the guys. My bracket could not be more busted, as I think everybody is in that same situation. And you're laughing. Terrific. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm all right, Dave. My bracket is all messed up. It's bloody murder everywhere. There's so many red lines crossed through the picks that I had advanced into the Sweet 16. It's disgusting, Dave. And of course, the worst of it is what happened to my Cavaliers on Saturday night.
That was terrible.
It was awful.
It was really terrible.
But you know what, Dave? The worst part about it is all of the analysts, everybody that watches college basketball, they were picking Ohio to upset Virginia. And I wanted to have the opportunity to tell everybody that they were wrong, and I didn't have that opportunity, which really, really sucks coming off the first game of the tournament.
Yeah, I have nothing to say except at least your game was competitive most of the way, all the way, really, through the game. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. Almost didn't make it this morning after that Knicks loss, but I got a fresh new set of sweatpants. Feeling good about this Monday.
Really? Nice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Brand new pair of sweatpants. Get the week started off on the right foot. Hey, listen, your bracket could be bad.
Oh my
Georgetown
God.
Was worse. Let's face it.
Well, here's the thing. They're not that good to begin with, right? Let's be honest. They were a 500 team, and they would have been nowhere near the tournament had they not gone on a red-hot run during the Big East tournament. They got red-hot. They won all these games, and everybody was like, oh, this could be a sleeper team. Look out for Georgetown. I one of the games I got right, I picked Colorado to win. I knew Georgetown's not that good. They're just not. And I was not all that surprised. Now, Colorado was, you know, their best shooting day of the season and all that kind of stuff. But I wasn't surprised that Georgetown lost that game.
No, but they're here to start at the right time. I mean, it was a feel-good story. You know, win the Big East. They had a 0.5% chance to win the Big East. Feel like they're playing their best basketball. I got talked into picking Georgetown over Colorado.
Who talked you into that?
Everybody.
Really?
Everybody. Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at my flow chart in the office. Multiple people had Georgetown upset in Colorado. Multiple
you might want to get a new flow chart because,
right?
Nobody did well, but you certainly didn't do well this weekend.
No, I didn't have a great weekend. No, but I did have Ohio over Virginia.
Did you?
Bad guy. Oh, yeah. Bad guy. Bad guy. You're supposed to go along with my team just for the support of your teammate.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, Virginia.
It's not about being right. It's about supporting your teammate, Rico.
No, it is about being right.
No, it's not about being right. It's not about being right.
Chris, have you seen him? The guy is asking everybody that walks the face of the planet who they should take.
Yeah, he always does this, though. I don't know why we're surprised about it. I mean, when it comes to our NFL picks, he's polling everybody in the cafeteria. He's talking
everybody.
To people on the street, the guys in the garage, everybody, to try to figure out where he wants to land and who he wants to pick. So this should be no different.
And then yesterday, we had Jay Williams, and he's going to join us again this morning. He joins us every Monday at 5:30. He's on last week, and he's like, oh, look out for Illinois. What's the name of the point guard? Chris, I can't say his name.
Ayo Dosunmu.
Yeah, Dosunmu. Look out for him. He's unbelievable. By the end of the tournament, he's going to be a household name. He's a household name because he ruined everybody's brackets. That's why he's a household name right now.
Nah, man, speak for yourself. I picked Sister Jean in Loyola. I'm not betting against the Ramblers. It's clear that she has a close connection with the man upstairs, man. That team, I mean, that's the team that nobody wants to play, Dave.
They dominated that game. It wasn't even competitive, that game. Loyola won that game 5 minutes in, and Illinois never got back within more than 6 points.
That kid Krutwig was awesome.
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce his name? He was awesome, man. That guy brought it on both ends of the court.
And you wouldn't think so by looking at him, right?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't look like a high-level athlete.
No.
He looks like he's going to go put some brats on the grill as soon as he gets back to the hotel.
I will say this, though. I mean, Kofi, it's no longer – I'm not calling him Coburn no more.
How far do you have them going, though?
Final four.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had them winning the whole thing.
Well, that's your – I mean, that's your own fault because you wanted to buck the trend. Nah, everyone's going to take Gonzaga. I'm going to take Illinois.
Was my choice. My chance.
Try to be a
that
hero.
Was my chance. I should have taken Baylor is what I should have done. They looked really good this weekend.
Yeah, I got Baylor in the final four. I got Illinois. I got Gonzaga, and I got Alabama.
So yeah,
Ohio State killed me.
Yeah,
Ohio
I don't even want to talk. Go ahead.
Ohio State killed me. Tennessee killed me. Illinois killed everybody.
But look at who we have. Look at the matchups we have. I mean, you get Abilene Christian. Oklahoma State loses last night. You got a 15. Oral Roberts has moved on to the Sweet 16. I mean, look what happened this weekend.
Yeah, Dave, I think it's something like 7 double-digit seeds advancing to the Sweet 16. So, I mean, it's just – this was one of those years in college basketball where there weren't a whole lot of dominant teams outside of Gonzaga, which means that you're probably going to have a lot of craziness when the tournament started, and that's exactly what we got in the first weekend.
Crazy.
I was actually told by a really good source that the full name of Oral Roberts is Oral Thermometer Roberts.
Is that right?
Which is,
right?
Yeah, which is exactly why you didn't pick
them. They can't use that because the OTB, I heard,
yes.
They were going to bring up a lawsuit against them. Is that correct?
Exactly, yeah. Right. If it was the Anal Thermometer Roberts that
right.
gave them, it has...
Yes. then nobody would have gone anywhere near that team. But they were down double digits to Florida in the second half, and they came back to win that game last night.
It's unbelievable, man. I mean, this is why it's March Madness. It really is.
I walked outside yesterday. I was like, what is that orb in the sky? I was like, oh, the sun. That's right. I don't think I have left my house. I'm not kidding. Since I went to get my shot on Friday. But other than that, I don't think I've left my house for more than 90 seconds Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's it. I was locked in all day long.
Yeah, but I mean, again, you had the shot. Your arm is still sore. And then, I mean, it's your kids like watching basketball. I mean, you have the perfect setup. Sherry's got a bracket. She did a bracket.
Of course.
She's invested.
She loves it.
You'd have been really proud of me yesterday, though, Dave.
What'd you do?
Played your favorite sport yesterday, a little tennis.
Did you?
A little tennis yesterday. And
really?
I got to be honest.
You took Milo out into the court?
I took Milo, yeah. So our neighbors is one of our neighbors. He plays high-level tennis. Mm-hmm. And we went over there and played yesterday.
Now, when
really
you say
good.
He plays high-level tennis, like what level?
For his age.
Okay, so he's an older man who's very
no,
good.
No, he's a
that.
Young kid. No, he's a young kid. No, he's a young kid that played, like, he plays really, like, competitive tennis. Like, he's ranked, he plays in all these tournaments.
Mm. Really?
He actually does homeschooling because he's that into that.
Oh,
into
wow.
Tennis.
So he's a tennis prodigy.
Yeah, well, yeah. And so we went over there and played. He's really good. I mean, I started to have him, I'm like, all right, shoot me some of your first serves. Let's see these things. Whew, forget it. But I'm kind of into it, though. I think I could actually take up tennis now.
That's great.
Kind of like it.
Oh, it's a fun sport. It's
I think,
a frustrating
though, I,
sport.
But yeah, but at my advanced age, and
you're what? You're 39?
38. Yeah, I'm not counting last year. 38.
You're
not going to count 2020.
And your physical fitness level, I think me and you paddle tennis team. I think we would thrive in paddle tennis.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, we could start with ping pong and then really, you know, advance our way up to paddle tennis if you'd like.
Rico, I hear you talking about taking up tennis, and all I'm thinking about is all the injuries that you're going to have as a result of trying to play this new sport. I just think it's all bad. It's a terrible idea. Stop while you're ahead. Don't do it. I'm telling you, man, don't do it.
You'll be surprised, though, Chris. Tennis, you're right. I mean, there's definitely a chance. I
change of direction, stop and start with your hip and your knee.
Yeah, I'm worried about the Achilles a little bit. But
you're
going
to blow a tire.
It's safer than playing soccer with your kid, though. Soccer with your kid is a nightmare.
I get how that can be dangerous too.
you step on the ball, you twist.
It's all
you roll
dangerous
up an ankle.
For him. Anything.
You know what's not dangerous,
out
Dave?
Any field, any sport, anything, Chris. And
no, it's not, Dave. Golf is not dangerous. Golf is not dangerous. You can go out there and play golf. That's not dangerous.
Does your other neighbor have a course on his property, or how does that?
He has
work?
A putting green. Putting green.
I'm sure he does.
He's got a putting green, yeah.
I'm sure.
Terrific backyard.
On the other side of the house, you got the prodigy, the golf prodigy.
You should see his backyard. It's like my dream backyard. He's got everything. Basketball, hoop, tennis courts, unbelievable.
This is not the family that burst into the house during Halloween, right?
No, that wants to see the bedroom. Okay. That is not this family.
You open the door, you say trick or treat, the little kid runs up to your bedroom, right?
Yeah, Cassie looked like Eric Flowers. trying to defend Von Miller, right by her. She was just holding.
Get him, like, and we'll sign it to a 3-year deal.
She was holding onto his leg. He was dragging her up the stairs.
Okay, the parents must have been mortified. No,
yes. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
All right.
It got, it got weird. It got strange a little bit, but
at least they know
it's
fine.
Listen, it's Halloween. Crazy stuff happens.
Crazy stuff does happen. Speaking of crazy stuff, and Jay Williams will join us at 5:30. We'll get into the college basketball with him. Syracuse. Oh, God. Jim Boeheim never goes away. It's very frustrating. But the Knicks last night. You guys are going to tell me, oh, they're competing and high level and all this stuff. I'm upset with that loss last night. That's a horrendous call with 5 seconds left in the game. Horrendous.
That was one of the most, that was one of the most devastating losses of the year.
Oh, God.
And I just finished the game this morning, and it was, in that moment, right? Like, in that moment, that play, we're going to call a loose ball foul there, really? On Julius Randle?
You can't make that call, Rico. You just can't. If you're the officials, it's debatable whether or not it was a foul, but in that moment, there's no way you can make that call. You just got to swallow your whistle because you know when you make that call, you're in part determining the outcome of that game. Like, that was absolutely critical. You can't make that call in that situation. No way.
Then this Knicks team is right there, Dave.
They're right there. They really are. Burks was wonderful last night, huh? Played a really good game.
He was awesome in the fourth quarter, Dave. And usually when we're talking about Burks, it's catch-and-shoot situations, his perimeter game. But, he was great off the bounce, too, putting the ball on hardwood and taking it to the rack, man. Burks was really, really good. Julius Randle was great down the stretch. There's a lot in that game that you can feel good about, especially playing up against that Sixers team who still has the best record in the East despite not having Joel Embiid. This Knicks team doesn't back down. They're competitive. And they find ways to be scrappy. Even with getting in a hole early, they were methodical in the way that they walked the Sixers down, and they made it a game right there at the end. And unfortunately, they didn't get a couple calls that went their way, and then they had that Julius Randle shot rim out. But, the fact that they're right there, Dave, as a Knicks fan, you got to feel really good about this team. Even though you're down below 500, you got to feel good about where they're at.
I feel good about the team, but how many times are we going to have the conversation of our – this is like the fourth time since the All-Star break. They're right there. They're on the verge of it. We had it against the Nets. Great effort. And that game didn't bother me. The game in Philly bothered me a little bit because they had a big lead in the fourth quarter. Last night really bothers me because they had so many opportunities. I thought you could argue they were the better team. Danny, don't even get me started on Danny Green. I don't understand. That guy could shoot like 1 of 17 for the game, and then the biggest moments he hits whatever shot is put on the table. But that's a horrendous foul call. So I have the foul call, the two made free throws, then Randle gets a great look. A great look, and it goes in and out, and the Knicks lose that game. Very, very frustrating.
Oh, it was a roller coaster, wasn't it? Oh. You go back to, the end of regulation. Tobias Harris has free throws to ice the game. He misses both.
And he's like an 82% foul shooter.
Yeah, and then you got Julius Randle buried in the corner. Makes that, what a great bounce he gets. Makes that three.
You fast forward
to overtime, and Tobias Harris hits the big three, and then he makes the two free throws. And Randle actually has a better look at the end of overtime than he had at the end of regulation, and it goes in and out.
It was in.
Oh. It's unbelievable, man. But they have to make a move. You said Alec Burks was great, and he was great.
Yeah, he was.
But, it's just – so he starts overtime instead of Emmanuel Quickley, who's supposed to be your point guard.
Which was the right move.
Which is the right move, but it speaks to the fact that they need help because they're right there. We can't keep affording to have these conversations where they're this close in a game against the best team in the East, and they should have won that game. You know what I mean? They need help.
But at what cost? I guess that's the question that it comes down to, right? Who are you going out and who are you targeting? Is it somebody like Victor Oladipo who has an expiring contract and should come fairly cheaply? Or are you going to go after somebody that's going to cost you more in the way of assets? That's the question that Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau have to answer.
I would take Victor Oladipo. If the price was right.
I would take him, too. The answer to the question for me, guys, I don't know how you feel, is I'll do anything that helps me now, but it's got to be smart for the future as well. I can't look at this moment and say, I have to get better right now. I need to think long term. And I'm not going to, cut off my nose to spite my face? I'm not doing that if I'm the Knicks. I'm not. It's got to be long term positive for this team as well.
Yeah, I think we agree with you. That's why the name. Bradley Beal. I don't know if he wants to be traded, but that's going to cost you a ton.
Why would you want to stay in Washington, though? That is a freaking dumpster fire.
It really is. And then on top of the fact, you catch a break too, because it looks like one of the teams that you'll be competing for a playoff spot with LaMelo Ball looks like he's going to be off for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I think that takes.
Right?
Yeah, but that takes, I mean, I would imagine that takes Terry Rozier's name out of the mix for potentially being traded now.
Probably so.
So maybe it ends up being Oladipo. Well, you need Derrick Rose back. I mean, ASAP, you need
Well,
you
he
need
was.
Derrick
I guess
Rose
he was
back.
Out shooting before the game, right, last night?
Yeah, but they said he still has to pass, like, certain steps of the safety protocols.
So have they come out and said that he has had COVID?
No.
Right, but clearly it seems like he has had COVID, right?
Yeah, I mean, that would make... I don't understand what other safety protocols you have to pass if you're allowed to... I mean, you're allowed to be on the bench for teammates.
Now. Yeah, he's been out forever now. So this is where we are with the Knicks. I mean, very frustrating loss. Just a terrible call late stages of that game.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Jay Williams, 5:30. Just a few minutes from right now. 6:45, Canty Canty. And 7:30, Damian Woody. Let's hear from Tom Thibodeau quickly. Thibodeau, darn. Quickly.
No, it's Thibodeau. You're
Thibodeau.
Right. It's Thibodeau.
You got it. Just Thibodeau.
Now I'm in my own head. All right. Tom Thibodeau, quickly. Thoughts on the Julius Randle foul late stages of the game?
I haven't watched it yet. Usually at the end of the game, there's going to be, as they would say, marginal contact, incidental contact, every other kind of contact. All I know is that we were getting hit a lot, and there wasn't marginal contact on that. So,
I mean, the game was as physical as you've seen in the NBA this entire year. And they didn't call a ton of stuff. And to call that with 5 seconds left, I think it's a horrendous call. I really do.
Yeah, it's a bad call. In that situation, you can't make that call and basically decide the game if you're the officials. And you just hate to see it go down like that for the Knicks at the end of regulation. You're talking about, you know, having the opportunity to try to win that game, and, you know, you came so close, and then once you get into overtime and you don't have the opportunity to be able to finish that, and then, of course, Tom Thibodeau wants to challenge the call, can't challenge the call. The refs say they didn't see him challenge the call, or he didn't do it quickly enough. Like, those explanations that Thibs said he got, they didn't pass the smell test to me. And the fact that you saw he was so upset in the post-game press conference and you know, basically trying to avoid saying anything that would get him fined, I think that says everything you need to know about how he and that team felt about that moment. And I think they were well within their rights to feel that way, Dave, because it's absolutely ridiculous to determine a game like that.
It was an awful call. And, I mean, Kish, you're right. I mean, remember, go back to the Julius Randle travel, right? And
yep.
you saw Tibbs' reaction on the sidelines. Like he knew exactly what happened when it happened. And he didn't, like, you could tell, like, he knew, like, that was a travel. Like, he didn't argue it.
Right.
That last night was the complete opposite. I mean, Tobias Harris probably doesn't even get that rebound.
No.
And
no.
Then he mugs Nerlens Noel on the way down. You know what
no.
I mean? As Nerlens Noel goes up, Tobias Harris almost pulls him to the ground.
That's the thing that makes it worse to me. I thought it was ticky-tack to begin with. And I think it's fair to say, us as a show, we are not big officiating complainers in any sport unless it's like the Saints one, right? Like, egregious stuff. But he's not even going to get that rebound. Even if Julius Randle doesn't touch him or does touch him, he's nowhere near that basketball. Nerlens Noel is coming down with that rebound last night.
Well, I guess the thing is, Dave, that play happens all the time in NBA games. It happens all the time. Sometimes it gets called, sometimes it doesn't. But the fact is, in that moment, if you make that call as an official, you're deciding the game. You're gifting Tobias Harris with two free throws,
yep.
And that's ultimately going to determine the outcome of the game. Like, you just can't do that. Let the players decide the game. The refs don't need to decide the games with the whistle. They don't.
Awful. All right, let's hear from the Knicks fans. 800-919-3776. Greg in Piscataway. Greg, you're first up. Good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's up? Good morning, boys.
What's going on, Greg?
Hey, so, I people think I'm crazy when I say this, and I've been saying this for a while. I think that there's a Nick bias going around the league. And just hear me out. So I think that the Knicks are the butt of a lot of jokes. And just as profitable as it is for the Knicks to be good, I think it's just as profitable for the league for the Knicks to be bad. Just to say, hey, New York stinks. So, I mean, how many times are we going to sit here and the Knicks get screwed by calls? Like, they don't – I think that the refs – and maybe it's subconsciously, but I think that the refs think that the Knicks are a joke. And it's like they probably go back to their hotel after and laugh. I'm serious,
no,
man.
No, no. There's no way. There's zero chance of that. That is ridiculous. Look, you can say a lot of things. I'm not one of these conspiracy theory guys. There's no way the officials are finishing games, going back to the hotels, and laughing. Ha ha! We got the Knicks again in this one. There is zero chance of that.
And then beyond that, Dave, the Knicks aren't a joke this year. Like, the Knicks are actually competitive. We expect them to be in the playoffs. That's a far cry from what people thought they would be coming into this season. So to think that everybody around the NBA is laughing at the Knicks, that is absolutely not the case. People are taking the Knicks seriously. Like, everybody is saying that Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau are doing a great job with resurrecting this franchise. There's nothing negative to say about the Knicks. The only thing that we're saying is we recognize that they need more talent on this roster. They need to add some pieces, preferably in the backcourt, in order to be able to compete and win against these upper echelon teams. That's it. That's all we're saying. Nobody's laughing at the Knicks.
No, they're not. They're not laughing stock material at all.
No, it's better for the NBA when the Knicks are good.
Of course it is.
But, I mean, here's the other thing, though, and Chris knows this playing in the NFL, the same thing happens in the NHL, is I don't know if it's a subconscious thing or whatever it ends up being, but usually the better teams get the benefit of those calls.
Yes.
That's usually what happens.
That's fair.
I just don't know why in that situation.
Why make the call at all?
Exactly right. Like, yeah. All of a sudden you now interjected yourself into this game. And now you're the reason why. Because there's a bunch of different reasons you can point to. Like, the Knicks didn't shoot well from the free throw line. That's a problem. But, I mean, they're right there at the end. They got a 1-point lead. Alec Burks actually missed one of the easier shots he had.
I know.
In the fourth quarter in OT.
Wide open look.
Which would have put him up three. Look. But I just, like, even with his arm extended, I watched it 100 different times. He does not really push.
No.
Tobias Harris.
No, he puts his arm in his back a little bit. It was forearm. It wasn't bad. Let's go to Roy and Patterson. Good morning, Roy. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, gentlemen. Listen, I'm very, very upset, and I don't believe that the Knicks will be able to go ahead and make the playoffs unless they actually get somebody that's going to be able to handle point guard. We got to get somebody in here sooner than later. Otherwise, we'll be outside the window again. And as far as Rose is concerned, how long has he been on COVID protocols? It seems like it's been 2 months already. Just wanted to go ahead and get your guys' idea with regards to that.
It's been weeks, and I think you read between the lines. I don't think it's COVID protocols. I think he probably has COVID.
Well, you're lucky he had the All-Star break, too. I mean, otherwise he would have missed, I mean, how many more games?
Which is what?
Didn't have the break.
Was 2 weeks ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, he's been out for weeks now. Weeks.
But he shuffles up everything. Like, not having him now, especially with Alfred Payton out, I mean, their rotations are all screwed up.
Yes. Yeah.
Because your second unit
is completely different without him there.
Well, but there's no depth now on this team.
None.
There's zero.
None.
I mean, they can't even, like, Obi Toppin's going to be out of the rotation soon here at some point.
He's going to be sitting with Kevin Knox on the bench the entire game at some point, very soon.
Dave, he played 7 minutes. He was -7 in 7 minutes.
I've said this before. He's unplayable. Unplayable right now.
I mean, Alec Burks pretty much, I mean, you can say he came off the bench.
He was your bench scoring.
He scored 20 points. Otherwise, you had 8 points.
Nothing.
Yes.
You had nothing. I don't understand. At some point, don't you have to send this guy to the G League just to get some playing time?
I don't know if you just, I mean, we've had how many people on that say they look at this as just kind of writing the year off with you know, COVID and everything else.
Yeah, the G League's not even playing anymore, Dave.
Oh, is it not?
Yeah, I don't think they're playing anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
Rick, I thought you told me last week it was. Give me bad.
No, it's over now. It was playing. It's over now.
Oh, so that's it?
Yeah, that's all she wrote.
Yeah, well, then I guess he's going to be on the bench for the Knicks the rest of the
They need to make a move, though.
Season.
That caller was right. I mean, if it ends up being Victor Oladipo, I'd be fine with that.
Of course you would.
They need somebody else.
Somebody. Because what they have right now, especially with Rose and Peyton out, it's just not enough. All right, quick break. Jay Williams on the other side. We'll get into all the college basketball.
Who was that?
Yeah, I don't know. You know what it's Jay Williams. It's not an easy name to say.
That was like the name was almost stuck in your throat. Like you had to get it out.
I'm on 3 hours sleep. All right. There's going to be a lot of missteps for me today. So get used to it. I'm sure it'll be turned around in 90 seconds, though. I'm sure when we come back, it'll be ready to go. Like, Chris had one last week. I haven't heard it since. The tapes have gone missing.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Talented Jay Williams. Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I got to tell you guys, after a tough weekend in which my bracket got pooped on very quickly, that intro made me feel very happy about life. So, plus to the Song of the Champions here, I appreciate the warm welcome, boys.
Well, we are tremendous fans of you. Although I, to be honest, and I don't know if the other guys feel like this, they probably don't, I'm very upset with you this morning.
What did I do? What happened?
I don't know if you remember this. Last Monday you came on with us. Chris, you remember.
I do. That's why I'm laughing.
CeCe, talk to me. What happened?
You came on with us.
Okay.
And we said, give us a name that's going to really wow us in the tournament. And you told, I can't say the name, but you were able to say it beautifully, the point guard of Illinois. You said, look, this guy, by the end of the tournament,
That's where my bracket went to poop. That's the point.
Well, you know what? I was on the fence. I didn't know what direction to go in, and I went there, and I'm right there with you now. You pushed me into Illinois, and I got pushed out because of Illinois. He was horrendous yesterday.
It was. So, I mean, look, Illinois really disappointed me. I thought Ayo Dosunmu, that's how you say his name. Trust me, I butchered it for a very long time. They just weren't aggressive at all in their approach. And I got to tell you, though, you know, we had Porter Moser on, and a young man, Marcus Towns, went to my high school. He played with Karl-Anthony Towns on that team, and they were both great. He played on that team, went to the Final Four. And, you know, Marcus had kept saying, hey, guys, like, you know, we this guy named Krutwig is really, really good. He can play with the best of the best. And you're sitting there saying, okay, like you're going against a guy named Kofi Coburn, who is a massive individual, massive, 7 feet tall. Like he's punked Luka Garza, who is going to be potentially National Player of the Year. But Krutwig came in and they just run their offense. They're so patient. I would have never thought that Loyola Chicago would be probably the highest chance from that region to go back to the Final Four. I would have never thought that at the beginning of the tournament. Yeah, their story's great, but you thought they would have had an early exit. To see what they were able to do and to win both those games to go to Sweet 16, my mind is just blown. Once again, March Madness, man. So I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, but Jay, you got Sister Jean on a Sunday? I mean, how are you going to lose that game?
You can't.
You can't.
You can't. I mean, first off, I'm like, look, I'm afraid to go to restaurants and go to games. She's at the damn game. I'm like, she's 101 years old, CeCe, and she's at the game. What's wrong with me?
All right, Jay, let me ask you this question, because in the moment it feels great, right? And I think that Sister Jean, that's a fun story, and I think people really get behind Loyola. But as far as upsets are concerned, I mean, in the moment, they feel great. But as we get to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, do you think that these kind of upsets in the long term are good for the tournament?
I think it's great for the tournament. I'll give you another example. So there's a kid named Max Asmus, okay? He's the leading scorer in the nation. He plays for Oral Roberts, ORU. So obviously, ORU going against Ohio State. I'm doing this thing with Jay Billis, and we're watching the game via streaming. And we're both kind of just in shock that he's first off able to go off. Like, it's one thing to be the leading scorer in a nation for ORU, right? Because obviously he's talented. But when you get against the big boys, you're like, okay, he went off. Then they play against Florida, and I'm not going to tell you who the text came from, but I'm really good friends with a couple of the best players on Florida's team. And I get a text saying, tell your boys at ESPN to lay off. There's no dark horse dream happening here. Not on our watch, right? This lit me a trash-talking text. Not just trash-talking, just saying, like, this is not going to be it. To watch them do it again. To watch them get to the Sweet 16. Guys, I got to tell you, this is what I root for, CeCe. Like, these are the teams, like, when you find out who Max Asmus is, his name is actually spelled A-B-M-A-S. I've had so many people, hey, this guy, Abmus. I'm like, actually, it's Asmus. That's how you pronounce his name. But, like, to learn about the stories of the Krutwigs and the Asmuses and the teams that have been able to get over the hump, this is what March Madness is all about. This is why I want to see kids actually get a chance to actually earn some revenue when they get a chance to increase their name, image, and likeness during these significant tournament runs. Because it's this moment in time that we're learning about them and their stories, and that's what we fall in love with during this incredible journey.
Jay, I want to switch over to the NBA because I just don't want to talk about the tournament this weekend after what happened to my Cavaliers. So I want to ask you about the Knicks. They lose a heartbreaker last night to the Sixers. Closely contested game, went into overtime, and Julius Randle's last-second shot just rimmed out. But this team moving forward, do you feel like they need to make a move at the trade deadline? And if so, what's the move that they should make?
Well, number one, the call last night was the right call. I feel like there's a lot of calls.
Oh, come on, Jay.
It was a push in the back, CC.
You can't say that, Jay.
First off, do you guys know how big Julius? Have you ever been next to Julius Randle?
Yes.
Either. All right. Julius Randle is a big boy.
Yeah, he's not a small man.
He's a big boy. When Julius Randle puts his elbow on your back and he gives you a push, that's good. You can't even do. Just box him out first and foremost. Get the damn rebound. So I'm with you guys in this, but I don't want to always hear like us New York Knicks fans complaining about every little call. Just box out, and it never happens. So I'm sorry I disagree with you guys on that one. I will say this team does have to make some kind of move because I feel like what's happening right now is it typically happens with Tibbs teams. They play so hard. They play so well so early, like because of the defense. That starts to tail off. So I start wondering about, you know, who is out there that can give them a pop? But do you, it depends though. Like, do you want to give up? How much of your team do you want to give up? See, I'm a firm believer that I'd rather not just try to trade for the entire world, and I'd rather stick with my core and continue them to allow to improve and increase their value. Like, I still see Emmanuel quickly improving his value. There's still aspects of this team where they're their team. So, it depends on how much I have to give up, CC. I don't know if I want to give up a lot just for short-term gratification. Like, they are still in the playoff hunt. They can still be there. I just think we all have to be a little bit patient with the approach we take with this team because everybody says, what moves can they make? What do they need to do right now? I'm like, just press pause. The reason why they've been playing so well is because they've been pressing pause and not actually trying to just swing for the fences every time there's a free agent available or somebody to trade for that's available.
Jay Williams with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Let me go back to college, and I'm a Georgetown fan, so it was a tough weekend for me. But on top of that.
But you got there, though. You got there.
I know, which was great. And it's nice for Patrick to get there, and I know they have a big recruiting class coming and all that. You must have greatly enjoyed watching Carolina get just hammered, I mean, destroyed by Wisconsin.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Yeah, I'm sure you can confirm that off the air. But here's my question about Syracuse. I mean, it's amazing. I actually thought when they first brought Buddy Boeheim into the program, the only reason he was even there was because his dad was Jim, and he wasn't really all that deserving of being a scholarship player. It's amazing that teams around the country go up against the zone, and Jay, it looks like they have no comprehension of how to deal with this thing. I'm amazed by them and the fact that they go back to the Sweet 16.
Well, there's a reason why Jim Boeheim has been one of the most successful coaches in the history of college basketball, right? It's not only the zone, it's a matchup zone. And he typically has recruited guys who are really tall and have long wingspans. Like, that's a different kind of zone. Like, you know, in high school, people see, it's 2-3 zone and pass the ball around. When you're actually on the perimeter with guys who have, you know, 7 feet wingspans, it can cover crazy amounts of length in a short period of time. It's hard to get the ball into those gaps because their arms are always active. So it's one of those things that you can't simulate in practice. You hear about it. You might see a team play it. But the same reason I asked you guys about Julius Randle, it's somebody saying, well, it's not a push. Stand next to Julius Randle. See how big he is. See how strong he is. It's another thing when you actually get on the floor to stand next to the Syracuse zone when you're seeing the average length of it being 6'6 or above. And these guys who are 7 feet wingspans, like, they cover so much ground. So it deters your vision. And all of a sudden when you get the ball into the gaps, you try to look opposite. They can recover quick. And they also have size down low. So look, my buddy, a good G-Unit song by 50 Cent back in the day. It's funny when you have a guy who understands how to shoot and has the moxie of a guard, but also the IQ of somebody like his dad who's been playing the way he's been playing. Like, that's rep for the ACC, and I'm happy to see these guys do it because they deserve it.
It really is amazing. All right, Jay, we know you got a run coming up at 6 o'clock, and of course we join the program in progress at 8 o'clock. Have a great show, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, guys, sorry about the push in the back by Julius Randle, but it was a foul.
Oh, stop it.
I know.
Have a good show. You got it. We got
you
it.
You too.
All right. All right, thanks. That, of course, Jay Williams. I can't believe he's going there.
He's a bad guy. He's a bad guy.
I can't believe he's going there.
I don't understand why he feels like that's the right call to make in that situation. Situation matters when it comes down to those calls. I know people want to say, well, if it was a foul, then you've got to call it no matter what the scoreboard says. That's not true, Dave. We all know that's not true. I mean, Rick has played in enough games. I've played in enough games. You've seen enough games to realize, like, there are certain times where the ref has to swallow his whistle. And last night in that game in overtime, that was one of them times.
And you know what I would say also? If the entirety of the game, Rick, if they were calling it, like, letter of the law, and every time there was a touch, it was a foul, you'd say, all right, you know, it's just it's how they've called the entire game. But it wasn't like that at all. And there were a lot of moments where I thought Julius Randle was mauled and they called nothing and waited for that moment to bring out the whistle.
And for the most part, they had done a good job. I mean, the only two of them, because you lost one to, you know, the COVID safety protocol. So only you had two of them. And up to that moment, they had done a pretty good job. They had done a decent job. But, I mean, that's, again, situation matters. It box out. But it wasn't even, I mean, there's a difference between pushing off and just having your hand on somebody underneath the basket. I don't know if that's you can say whatever you want. Apparently Jay's now a shock jock, but that's not a call you should make in that moment. I don't care what anyone tells me. You decided the game.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it's unanimous on this show. That's a ridiculous call by the refs last night.
It's a bad call.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are going to be people that are listening and go, oh, it's the Knicks and they got hosed and that's why you guys. I mean, we are not a show which really spends a lot of time on whining and moaning about bad officiating. We're really not.
No, well, Rico and I don't believe in that. I mean, we had those conversations in locker rooms where players amongst themselves would say, hey, don't leave it up to the refs. Don't let them determine the outcome of the game. Don't let it be that close. Like, we've had those talks with our teammates. So, like, we don't want to blame the officials for the outcome of a game. But, I mean, after watching the Knicks lose last night, how could you not? I mean, they called that foul. Tobias Harris has the two free throws. Game, set, match. It's over. Like, they don't have a chance. Like, I don't understand it. I don't understand how you could stand by it and say that was the right decision by the refs under those circumstances.
Let's take a listen. Julius Randle was hot after this game. Here he is.
Long call by the officials. Not enough contact for them to call the play. I don't know who it was, Nerlens, but clearly had possession. After all the fouling and everything that was going on, and for them to call that and decide the game is ridiculous. So, yeah, it's ridiculous, man. They got to do a better job. It's too many games like this.
He'll probably get fined for that, but I think he's 100% right. I mean, it's just a bad call in that moment. It really is. Cost the Knicks the game last night.
Yeah, I don't think it affected Tobias Harris' ability to get that rebound. He wasn't going to get the rebound anyway. Nerlens Noel came down with the rebound, period. End of story. And that game was, I mean, that was a physical defensive battle of a game. It was a physical game, man.
Yeah, it
both
was.
Teams played tough
yeah,
on defense. I mean, you saw the first quarter of that game, and then they scored 15 points in the first quarter. But, I mean, I don't know if I were to put myself in that locker room with how hard the Knicks play, there's only so many of those kind of losses you can take.
Those are tough.
Like, those gut you, those kind of losses.
Yeah, those are brutal. And now, you give them a lot of credit. Every time it's been a lesser team, they have answered the bell. Now you get Washington a couple times this week, but that would have been sweet. That would have been a great win last night.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're right there again. But, I mean, when you ask Jay as far as, you know, making a deal, I don't think anyone's talking about, you know, gutting the roster to make a deal at the deadline.
No.
But just, I mean, adding, there's something to be said. I know everyone wants to, you know, just let this thing bake and everything else, but there, I mean, getting an opportunity to play in the postseason is huge for a young team. And all the hard work, I mean, that's, you know, Thibs expects a lot from these guys. Like, these guys go out every single night and play their hearts out. At the end of it, there's got to be the payoff of, you know, we're right there to be in the postseason. And they just, like, you watch this team offensively, especially late in games.
Oh,
I mean, it's disjointed.
It is, to say the least. Let's go to Bill in Spring Valley. Good morning, Bill. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to comment. How many times do we have to watch a Knick game and see Julius Randle with the ball out top and just make some seriously bad decisions with the ball? I mean, we talk about the call at the end of the game. Yeah, I agree. I don't think it was a call that was warranted at that point of the game. But before that call was made, there were a couple sequences there where he just made some bad decisions with the ball, bad passes. He throws up, like, some weird kind of shot. And to call him an all-star –
oh, come on, Bill.
Bill,
come on. You don't think that Julius Randle has been sensational and deserving of all-star status this year?
I think he's putting up all-star numbers, but I don't think he's an all-star player. He makes too many bad decisions.
Do you know what they would be without Julius Randle, Bill? Do you have any idea?
He's doing it because he's their best player right now, but I know he's having a great season, but I don't think he's an actual all-star. I just think he's a good player putting up all-star
numbers.
Bill, let me tell you one thing, Bill.
Is he on a good team? On a really good team that could compete for a championship, should Julius Randle be your best player? No, he should not be your best player.
No.
On this Knicks team, if you define the most valuable player award, not, you know, best season on the best team, like, Julius Randle would be in that conversation for most valuable player to his team.
If you take him off of this team right now, they are, I think they're unwatchable. I find it hard to think that they win more than 20 games.
Well, Dave, coming into the season, the over-under for the Knicks was 21.5 wins. And they have 21 wins now through 43 games. So to say that Julius Randle is not an all-star is ridiculous. I mean, he's putting up numbers, but his numbers are actually impacting the team's success. So, I mean, you can't take that away from Julius Randle, the kind of turnaround that he's had with his tenure with the Knicks, man. The guy is special this year. And, yeah, there are some plays where you're saying he's being a little bit too aggressive, but, I mean, what choice does he have? If his team is going to have a chance down the stretch, he's got to be the guy. There was one sequence at the end of that, in the regulation in that game, where he's got a bunny at the rim and he misses it because he's damn near tackled. So, I mean, there were some missed calls by the officials where you should have been having a foul on the Sixers. But, I mean, to sit here and say that Julius Randle is not deserving of all the recognition and all the accolades he's getting this season, that's just unfair.
He played 46 minutes last night. He's coming off a game where he had 17 assists. 17 assists.
Look, I was not a big Julius Randle guy coming into the season. I admit it. I don't think either of you guys were as well. But
that's a different player. That's not the same player.
He's wonderful now. To call us and say that, now I agree with you, on a great team, is he your best player? Absolutely not. But he's the best that they have. And you know what? This version of Julius Randle, I think on a great team, can be the second best player. Like, he's a terrific player right now.
Yeah, but what you're criticizing Julius Randle for is him trying to will his team to wins. Without much help. I mean, he shouldn't make... You think that Julius Randle wants to be handling the ball as much as he's handling the ball?
No, he doesn't.
And you think he wants to play 46 minutes a game?
No, he doesn't.
But again, I mean, this is what it takes for this team to win games. They don't have a legitimate point guard that can threaten a defense and make it easy for everyone else around, like, to help everyone else get easy shots. They don't have that.
They don't have somebody that can close the game. Like, the final 5 minutes, he can get any shot on the court that he wants, or he can create shots for others. They don't have that guy either.
No.
So Julius Randle has to be that player. And sometimes he's going to make some mistakes. There are going to be some turnovers. But you live with that if you're Tibbs, because you recognize the upside. And if you're going to be competitive, if you're going to win games, that's your best chance to do it. So it's absolutely ridiculous to criticize Julius Randle for the mistakes that he might make down the stretch in games, for the turnovers, when you realize if Julius Randle doesn't make plays, the Knicks don't have a shot at winning.
And I would always go back to, okay, you don't want Randle. Who do you want to have the ball in big moments for this team right now? Who do you trust, Dave?
Who do you trust?
Anybody.
He's the one that hit the three to put it into overtime. I mean, what are we talking about right now?
It's ridiculous. If you are not all over how great he's been, you're missing the mark. Now, on March 24th, which is Wednesday of this week, the YES Network will have its 98.7 ESPN Afternoon Drive simulcast team of Rick's favorite, Michael Kay, Don LaGreca, and Peter Rosenberg call at least two innings of action when the New York Yankees play the Toronto Blue Jays in an afternoon spring training game from Steinbrenner Field in Tampa. To make this all possible, our local 98.7 ESPN listeners have helped raise over $20,000 to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So thank you to all our listeners for making this happen. To find out how you can help, go to bit.ly/kspringtraining. bit.ly/kspringtraining. I look forward to that greatly on Wednesday afternoon. I think that will be a lot of fun.
How could it not be a lot of fun? I mean, you're going to get, I mean, you got Kay and Sterling tonight.
Yep.
You're going to get Kay, Don, and Peter.
Looking forward to Peter, honestly.
Well, here's the thing, though. It sounds like Peter's going to be more like interjecting with, you know, kind of, he's talking about maybe doing some baseball card stuff. I don't know if he actually knows what he's going to do yet. I'm not really sure if he knows what exactly.
I would love to hear Peter do play-by-play of the game.
Wow.
I would give him some credit, though. I think he could do it.
Well, he's a talented guy.
You're talking about a guy who does morning drive time and he does afternoon drive time on the radio.
He's an entertainer now.
Can't take that away from him. WWE.
Yeah.
He's a former 24/7 champ.
As Don likes to point out, didn't even last 24 hours, though, the 24/7 champ.
It did not.
No, it did not.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.